Welcome to another episode of Holla Chat. I am Rachel.
And I'm Bobby.
Today we're going to talk about the tour because it's starting soon. So soon.
So soon. I was looking at my calendar and fully freaking out yesterday.
So now that we're here at the 2024 tour, we both have planned mini stops. Mm-hmm.
I had specifically wanted them to tour in the summer so that mm-hmm. I could go to multiple stops because being a teacher, it is very difficult to get time off. I was like, there's no way I'd be able to take off work to go follow them around on tour. And I just really want to be able to do multiple stops because it sounds really fun. I know that we had already planned for Georgia and we'd already planned for Dallas. And so we were mm-hmm. in line for those at, well, no, we did Georgia first.
Yeah. And it was a whole thing.
It was a whole thing.
We had a special chat mm-hmm. dedicated to ticketing. Mm-hmm. We had several people online at the same time. Mm-hmm. We were all committed to getting the seats we wanted. Mm-hmm. In Bobby and I's case, we did want at least one VIP experience because we wanted to see soundcheck.
Right. I've never been to a soundcheck before and I just really wanted to go to it once, even though I was in school at the time, fully in class with students, and I bribed my student. I said, listen, y'all leave me alone. Y'all just work on your papers quietly. Go get your Chromebooks. Listen to your music on your headphones, and y'all just be quiet. And if y'all will just be quiet for the entire class and nobody bothers me, I will give everybody an A on our last test. And they were locked in for that class period. They were like, we got you. And I told them, I'm like, I'm buying concert tickets. I have told y'all I'm a K-pop stan. My favorite group is going on tour.
This is so important to me, students, please.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, we have worked so hard this year and I want to be able to give you this gift, but there have to be strings attached. And these are the strings. The strings are your silence. So that was for the Georgia one. Like, they were mm-hmm. laughing at me the whole time because I'm, like, staring at my computer and I'm super tense. And then when we finally got the tickets and I was just like, yes, and everybody started, like, cheering. So then I did that again for my next class because we were doing the Dallas an hour later. Mm-hmm. Of course, Dallas
was a disaster.
Oh, my goodness. Dallas was a mess.
I had my husband joining us on this foray into ticketing sales, and he worked from home that day so that he could be home to mm-hmm. get these tickets. Like, when I say that we took this very seriously. Mm-hmm.
Getting AT's tickets is a job in itself.
Dallas, one of my friends, one of our very close friends who was going to go, she had to be at work and could not be on to get tickets. So we had one of our other local Dallas friends also use her account to try to get the tickets. And the whole Dallas scene was just so bad. I had in my cart, I think, 3-4 VIP tickets. I don't remember if they were Sector or Atini. I think they were probably Sector. And my phone just gave up. Mm. Like, in the middle of the Dallas ticketing, it just, like, logged out of Ticketmaster, crashed. I think because there were so many people trying to get those tickets. And the, like, venue was so big mm-hmm. that so many people were clicking. And so then my husband did get 3 Sector tickets. What ended up happening with our friend, who is not as familiar with buying AT's tickets, like, it was dangerous giving mm-hmm. her this assignment. She ended up getting platinum priced, which was super upsetting because I don't think any of us wanted to pay $1,900 for 3 non-VIP tickets. Mm-hmm. Like, that was so much money.
So platinum pricing, for people who may not be aware.
Yes.
Platinum pricing is this fun thing that Ticketmaster does. It claims to keep scalpers from mm-hmm. buying tickets. It basically just raises the price arbitrarily if the demand mm-hmm. is high. These were tickets that were on, they were on the floor.
They were on the floor.
But there were no benefits along with them, but they were priced as though they got benefits.
Right. And she ended up buying those thinking she was buying VIP tickets. They didn't say platinum pricing anywhere on them. So immediately after the Dallas show, we still had more tickets to buy. Like, we had to go get some Arizona tickets. We mm-hmm. had to get the California tickets.
I wasn't originally going to go to Arizona.
Right.
I think our friends Rachel and Sean were the only ones that were, like, planning to go to Arizona.
Right.
And I was just like, spur of the moment, I was like, what if I really want to go to Arizona now? And I know you texted me and you were like, let's do it. Do you wanna? Are you sure? And so we just decided, and that's where we ended up.
Which is great.
It is good. It's good for me specifically because that's my only, we ended up getting 18E. I think you got the 18E tickets.
No, my husband got the 18E tickets. I got zero tickets. Like my, I might as well have not been there. My phone crashed for Dallas and then it just gave up.
So Jeff came through and he got us the 18E tickets. So that's my only 18E experience that I have coming up. It's not my only VIP, but it is my only 18E.
It's my only 18E, but I was also getting tickets for, oh no, I didn't have to get tickets for LA. That's why I was able to be online for Arizona because I have another friend who bought a box in LA. And so I'm going with her to the box for that first night. And then when tickets went on sale for the second night of LA shows, that was like a different day. I logged in that day and I ended up getting Ultimate VIP. So I will have Ultimate VIP once, 18E VIP once. We have Sector VIP in Georgia. Mm-hmm. I guess I will be sitting with you in the lower bowl, but we do have to buy 5 more tickets for Dallas because back to our platinum pricing issue. I had talked to Ticketmaster immediately. Like, we tried to get these tickets canceled immediately. None of us wanted to pay for them. We were prepared to, obviously, but
how much were they total?
It was $1,900 for all three.
Okay.
So, which is very expensive for a ticket with no benefits. Mm-hmm. And the thing about VIP for me, especially in a seated VIP, this is almost worse. I'm so short.
Mm.
A seated floor experience is going to be really hard for me to see anything unless I'm towards the front. These were towards the back. If you're tall, I'm sure you would have had a good view, but I was just going to be like paying $600 to look at all the tall people around me.
With their signs and pickets and banners and phones sticking up in the air.
And, you know, it's one thing if you know you're going to get sound check with it. Like, that's like its own thing. Like, okay, I paid a lot of money so I can have the sound check experience. I can suffer through whatever and I'll still get to be at the concert, which will be great. But to just like pay that much money to barely get to see the concert, to not have any VIP benefits, I was pretty put out about it. So we started contacting Ticketmaster almost immediately. And I was like, this is fraud because you didn't disclose that they were platinum pricing. Like, it wasn't on the tickets. If it had been on the tickets, she wouldn't have bought them. Mm-hmm. Or I had to pretend it was me. I wouldn't have bought them because I was looking for VIP tickets. These were priced like VIP tickets. They didn't disclose that they were platinum pricing. So this went on for like 3 or 4 days and Ticketmaster was like, we're not going to refund you. And I just like kept going back and like talking to them more. And I was doing all of this through Ticketmaster's chat, which turned out to be a good thing. So this is like a hot tip for anyone who this happens to. Eventually, my friend contacted her bank and she was like, this was not disclosed to me that this was the price of like what I was buying. So it's fraud and I don't want to pay this for it. And so the bank got with Ticketmaster and eventually they canceled the tickets. So we do not have those tickets anymore. We got refunded the full price. And but now we do have to buy new tickets, which sucks. So that's our concerting plan as far as like stops we're going to.
I've had, for both of the Atlanta shows that I've been, or all three of the Atlanta shows that I've been to, the organization was stellar. There was no situation where people were just stranded outside or where the show had already started and there are people still waiting to get in because the lines are taking forever. So that has been really nice. I know there were a lot of complaints about that with the last tour, with some of the venues just were not organized.
Well, I can tell you for sure that Oakland was quite the experience. We saw people quit. Like, workers were quitting while we were standing in line. They're like, F this, I'm out of here.
And
leaving as this, like, disorganized mob is trying to get in. And in Oakland was their first show of the last tour. This time, Tacoma is, but Oakland was the first show last time. And people who had Sector VIP missed soundcheck because they had so much trouble getting people in. And I don't think they were ever refunded for that. I think they got in at, like, the last bit of soundcheck. So, like, Oakland was a true disaster. The fact that they're going back there is truly incredible to me.
So hopefully there won't be any drama of that sort. I'm not putting any of those things on my bingo card.
Right. We are making a tour bingo. We've done it every tour.
Mm-mm, we just did it for the last one.
For the last tour. But we've done it for some of the comebacks, too. We like to make a bingo board and see who wins. There is no prize except the best prize, which is being right.
Which I have never been. I've never even been close. I was looking at my tour bingo from last time and I was like, wow, really, I really, really did not knock it out of the park.
So we're going to put that tour bingo up on our blog, too, so that you can have access to it. You can see what we choose for our tour bingo, and then you can also make your own board. But it has stuff like what they do outside of the concert, like where they go in the city, whether they hit up a coffee shop, pay for Aitini's meals, like that kind of stuff. And then, like, what happens on shows.
Yeah, there are five categories. There is one category for things that happen on stage. So this would be cover things like, you know, levels of nudity.
Members calling Jungho sexy.
Right, who has to do a sexy dance. Will Jungho sing to a person in the crowd? Like he did at that one show that they had in Paris or France.
Will Mingi open his vest? Which is not uncommon.
Not uncommon. I have that water will be splashed or spilled somewhere during a show. That's on my bingo card. There is also a category for things that happen in the crowd. So things that Aitini's get up to. One of mine is that I think somebody's going to show up in a dinosaur onesie.
Oh, fun.
That's my prediction. I know that they're going to be the people in the stick figure light up things.
There always are.
So that's an easy one that we're not going to do. You know, so we know people are going to be dressed up like holidays. We know people are going to be wearing cowboy hats.
I can put on my bingo board whether or not BMO Stadium in LA lets me take in my giant Jungho sign to show him from the box.
Ah, okay. Right. Which would be the only appropriate place to have a Jungho sign that is like 15 feet long.
It is not 15 feet. It's 2 feet by 6 feet because I thought it was 2 inches by 6 inches. So I remember
it wasn't two inches.
It wasn't. But I need to do something with it. I have it. So I'm going to take it to LA and see if they'll let me hang it off our box, because I'm not going to take it to like a concert. I don't have, if I was like the first row on like a bowl area, I might try to take it and see if I could get like everyone to help me and it wouldn't block anyone's view because it would hang it off the railing.
Right.
But I'm not a monster, and I'm not going to try to block, like, an entire section of a concert's viewpoint.
Right.
Even with my light stick, I'm always, like, I hold it right at my chest and just, like, wave it around near my face. Because I don't, even though I'm short, I don't want to block the people behind me.
I know. When I went to go see Zykers with you in Dallas last October, and I had to watch the entirety of not Run, but the other one that I really, really love. Oh, no, it was Oh My Gosh. That's what it was, because I love that song so much. But I had to watch the whole thing through the camera phone of the girl in front of me. Hey, girl, if you were at the Zykers concert and you were wearing a chicken hat and you were screaming every single time that Hunter was speaking and you jumping up and down, you were blocking my view the entire time. And what was really sad was that I had gotten seated in like the middle of like a party. There was like a mom on my left and then some kids on my right, some youths on my right. And I saw that they were together, and I told the mom, like, oh, would you like to trade seats with me so you can sit next to your people? And she's like, oh, yeah, sure. And then she didn't even pay attention. She, like, went and got a snack at intermission and came back and was just sitting there with, like, her cheeses and whatever that she was eating and, like, didn't even stand up. And I was like, ma'am. And her view, if
Please
I had
offered to switch back,
I know it, her view was so much better than mine. And I, of course, wasn't going to say anything because why would I? What would I even say? Was please give me my view back.
I've never had a better view at a concert. Never. Not a single time than I did at that Zykers concert. Because
you were at the front of the section, which is
what you should have done. Well, I was the second row back, but there was no one in front of me. So, like, the seat in front of me was empty. I don't know if that person just, like, didn't come. That seat was sold, so they just didn't come. And so there was no one in front of me. I was at the front of the section. This is the best view I've ever had, and I know I'll never have that kind of view again. Doesn't matter. I could be barricaded. I would never be as good as that. It was so good.
Disappointing. It's disappointing for me. I should have had the thing that you had. I should have moved up there to that empty space where nobody was.
You should have. The good thing that happened to me should have happened to you.
Yes. Well, I thought I had learned that lesson because when I went to go see Dreamcatcher back in like February of before that happened.
Yeah.
I learned the same lesson where I got a seat that was really close, but it was on the floor. And so, and I'm short. So I could not see the entire time. And it was another one of those situations where my seat originally was great, but then there was nobody in front of me. But then two girls who were in the row in front of me moved over because they saw that that seat was empty. And they were both decidedly taller than I was. And they were both like keeping their phones up in the air so they could record. And I don't record the concerts. I just want to be like fully, fully in the moment and not having to hold my phone up and wonder like what's on my screen.
I think this time, since you're seeing so many, you will find like a couple of moments that you wanted to record. That's what I've normally done. Like the first one, I watch the full thing. I don't pull my phone out once. And then the second one, it's like, okay, I want to get them singing Celebrate, you know? Like, I want to get the part that I really love.
Yeah. Well, I imagine in Arizona, because that's where we will, you know, theoretically be the closest that we will be the whole time. I will probably record there, but then knowing that I've got three more shows to watch. Yes. So if I miss something, it's okay.
Yes. I was going to say, I was at the Canada show and I had sector VIP, but we had been in line since 10 a.m. So we were pretty early to enter for sector VIP. I was one row back from barricade, which is what I was for most of Break the Wall when I was on the floor. I was one row back from barricade. The girl in front of me had her phone out and not like she was barricade, right? She was barricade. She could have held that phone chest height and had everything. She had it up above her head. I was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me specifically? So like I had to like look around her phone the whole time because she did it the whole time. She also brought a different group's light stick and was waving it around the whole time. I just felt like it was really really poor sporting, poor concert etiquette. Don't do that. You don't need to do that. Like, I understand putting your phone up for a couple of seconds to get a little video of your favorite part. Like, I get it. You want to remember it. That's fine. But there are other people who also want to enjoy this concert, and we have to remember that.
I think it's just my personality. I'm so, like, non-confrontational, and please don't notice me, and I don't want to, like, get in anybody's way. And so I am, to a fault, will like shrink away from anything that I think might bother somebody else.
Right.
So my brain doesn't comprehend the type of personality that you have to just not care about anybody else around you, to just be fully oblivious. Or are they not oblivious and they just don't care? I don't care if the person behind me cannot see or has to watch this entire number through my screen.
The best thing in the world was when her phone died because towards the end it died because she'd been recording the whole thing. And I was like, oh, thank you. It died for the Hello 82 special moment thing. So I got to see all of that, which was great. It was great for me. But yeah, even when I bought I bought Bobby and I little small versions of my very large Jungho banner that I've posted in other places. People have seen. I bought very, very tiny cloth versions that we could hold up. And one of my friends is like, oh, that's so small. Why would you get it so small? He won't be able to see it. And I was like, but this is the right size so that other people behind me won't be annoyed when I hold it up. Like, they're going to be able to see around this just fine. Like, I know that the big banners are a thing, but like, I want people to be able to see and enjoy.
So. Right.
Should we talk about the concert set list?
Yes.
We sort of know what the concert set list is, arguably, because they've already performed it in Korea and Japan. However, they have to put work on there.
They can't just ignore work. What my dream for this North American show would be for them to take Wonderland out. I love her. I love her. I love her so much, but I have not seen Halazia, and I need them to take Wonderland out and put Halazia in. And I do think that if they do add like Work and Blind in, because people are expecting to see Blind. They want to see Blind. I also want to see Blind, but I think if they do those, they will probably remove Ariba and Django.
I have strong anti-feelings about removing Ariba. I haven't seen her. I know they performed it at Coachella, so some ATNEs have seen it in person, specifically North American ATNEs, but I haven't. So yeah. They've also performed Halazia once in North America at the KBS Immortal Songs that neither of us went to.
No, so many people didn't go to because that was a mess.
Yeah, that was a mess, but I know they performed it there, so perhaps they think their duty is done with Halazia. No one, there are no two people alive who are bigger fans of Halazia mm-hmm. than Bobby and I.
I've built an entire religion around Halazia, and that they have not given her to me in performance format mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. is so upsetting.
I build my year around Halazia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a process of making my goals and my things that I want to accomplish, and I build it around Halazia. We have a, what did we call our Halazia night? We have a Halazia night.
It's High Halazia.
High Halazia. We have High Halazia. We have holidays around Halazia, mm-hmm. and they have not performed it for us specifically. And I feel like that is such a betrayal of our loyalty, our religion, our, I don't know. They have to, I just want it so bad. I want it so bad. And I don't think they'll give it to me. I don't think they'll mm-hmm. be putting Halazia in, but I want it.
They're so in love with Wonderland, and I get it. Wonderland is great, but I have also seen Wonderland. They've performed Wonderland on every mm-hmm. single North American tour, except for the yes. first one, just because it hadn't been released yet. But if it had been yes. released, they would have performed it there too. So I've seen Wonderland. I've seen it so many times.
And I love Wonderland too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it in person. And I've seen both versions in person multiple times. Yeah. I've seen the Kingdom version. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the normal version because they did the normal version for Break the Wall.
Mm-hmm. They did the Kingdom version for Beginning of the End. It was the opening thing.
They also did it at Coachella. Mm-hmm. I think they did it at the last KCON I was at. Like, I love Wonderland, mm-hmm. but Halazia deserves to be played here in the North American tour where specifically Bobby and I can see it.
Yes. It almost feels a little bit like they've forgotten about Halazia because they haven't been doing it anywhere else either. I think the last time they performed it was at the Immortal Songs thing in New York.
Yes, I think that's true.
And they haven't brought it out for any festivals, which I kind of understand because Halazia is a religious experience, which you yeah. don't really think of with the debauchery of a festival.
Right.
So, you know, I get why they're doing their other, like, hype songs, but, like, come on.
The people need it.
The people need it, and the people are me.
And me.
People are us. The people need it. So, I do
wish...
So,
this is our letter to KQ. I know that we're planning to release this about 4 days before the concert starts, so right. I don't know if it's too late to change that set list, but, you know, I would also be okay if just, like, one member wants to just throw me a bone and, like, sing some lines just at some point. Maybe during their mints. I don't know.
I don't think they're going to do it. And I know that Hong Joong has said that they mm-hmm. aren't changing the set list. I believe right, he did say that somewhere.
I think he said it on From.
But famously.
They have to put work on there at least.
Famously, Hong Joong is a liar. So, he is. You know, I don't know if I can trust what he says. And I do know. I do know that whatever happens, I will be so pleased and thrilled and overwhelmed by whatever they show me. Because that just is the way of things with ATs. They give me not what I want, but what I need.
Yes.
So I know that it will be a good time.
I am pleased that This World is on the mm-hmm. tour list. That is the song that I am most looking forward to seeing this on the set list. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about it. When they did the showcase and the first thing they did that comeback was come out and perform This World, like, I lost my mind. It was so incredible.
I have never felt so overwhelmed watching watching any performance, like a live performance by them. There have been other times that I've been overwhelmed by them, mm-hmm. but just in a single performance, because they came out and they did This World. Didn't they go right into Outlaw after This World?
I think so.
And
they had this like crazy sheet thing yes. that they were doing. Yes. That was like a whole, I don't know. It gave me chills. My head was just like all over the place. Like, I just couldn't even comprehend the things that they were doing. It was so overwhelming.
It was, I like, Like, I felt speechless. I remember texting somebody. I don't know who exactly I was texting.
I think it was me. Because I was also texting like crazy.
Texting somebody when they finally took a break to talk after mm-hmm. Outlaw. And I was like, oh, thank God. I didn't think I could do it anymore. Like, I was so, like, frozen in place by mm-hmm. the shock of perceiving that for the first time.
Just thinking about that comeback is such a weird experience because they did so much leading up to that comeback. Like, they had released the previews of those songs so early.
Like a month before.
Yeah. And so we had had so much time where we were like sitting with the, at the time, the greatest music that had ever musicked. Just like, and we couldn't have it. It was so crazy. And I think people were upset about that, but I do think it built like a ton of hype for those songs.
It did. I was one of those people who were upset because it was so frustrating. This, you know, this wonderful music being dangled in front of your face, but mm-hmm. then you can't hear the rest of it for a month.
Mm-hmm. A thing that like always happens to us is right before a comeback, we're just like, all music is bad. No one's ever released a good song. Like,
you know, even with like Golden Hour before they had, because they didn't do that with Golden Hour. And part of me was very grateful that I wasn't being tortured like I had been mm-hmm. with Bouncy or Outlaw. But also, and I know we talked about this a little bit with the other episode, don't know where that's coming out in relation to this one, but the one where we talked about Golden Hour
mm-hmm. might be before or after this, so you know, that's up in the air. It depends. We want to get this out before tour, so that's the most important.
We're doing this the 80s way, which is to tell it completely out of order. We're in the treasure
era.
It's
up to the listeners to figure it out later.
So, but I, you know, not having the audio was less torturous, but also it gave us less to talk about, which I think is why there was less hype for Golden Hour.
Yeah.
But that was just so overwhelming. And I am very disappointed that Outlaw is not on the set list. I know that I wrote a post about, you know, the songs that were mourning that are not on there in Answer. Mm-hmm. And Halazia and Outlaw are heartbreakingly not on the set list.
Right.
I wonder if they remember that Outlaw exists. Do they know? Do they know about Outlaw?
I don't know. I know that it's Cassandra's like favorite off of that album and they've just never performed it again. They performed it after This World and then they just erase that, which is crazy because they have full choreo for it and they're just like, well, we're done with her.
They have to be planning to do something with it eventually. It must be so difficult to be in that meeting when they all sit down and decide what's going to be on the tour.
Right.
Because everything.
Uh-huh.
They could do a 6-hour show and I would stay for the whole thing and they still wouldn't cover everything that I wanted to see.
I know. It's hard when you only release bangers. Like,
I know.
They have no bad songs. I will listen to all of them. And there's always going to be a song that they left off that I'm like, ah, oh, man, I would have wanted to hear that one.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the nature of it because everything, like, I love all of their songs so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the struggle.
I know people are always wanting them to leave Wave off, and I'm like, no.
How dare you?
That one, no.
No, they have to do Wave.
They have to do Wave because they also love it so much.
Mm-hmm. Like, they have such a good time with it.
Watching them perform Wave is so much fun. Like, that's just such a good time. So, no, don't take Wave off ever.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else is fine.
All of that to say, because we never finished Tour Bingo. We didn't finish talking about that. We went on a whole tangent. But anyway, so we have things happening on stage. We have things happening in the crowd. We have a wild card section for just anything that doesn't fit. I'm going to put things like Twitter. One of my picks for the wild card is that there's going to be some sort of a fan war or discourse about empty unsold seats.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to become a thing specifically with so many of the stadiums not being sold out.
I will say that I don't have one, but I will say on the stadium thing, like, you know, I've been looking at the Dallas tickets because I have to buy more and there aren't a ton. There's a good amount because it's a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
All of the floor is sold out. All of the lower bowls are sold out. Mm-hmm. You only have like, because there's like 4 layers of bowls. So like that first layer is gone. Most of the second layer is gone. A lot of the fourth layer is completely open.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like that's a great showing for your stadium tour. I don't know.
Right. Well, I think that people are going to try to make that a thing. Mm-hmm. I won't get into which people. But I will say that there are some people who their group is getting ready to go on tour as well. Mm-hmm. And I do think there are going to be some unfortunate comparisons. We have another category for North American hospitality. Mm-hmm. And this covers hotels and airplanes and or road trips if they decide to do the tour bus thing again. I don't think that they will. One of the things that I had on it last time, and I'm keeping it on there, is they will have a food order that is canceled or stolen. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. And then the last one is something to do with like things like ATs out and about around town.
Yeah.
So this would be one thing that I have here, since they do have a little bit of extra time in Texas. I do think somebody is going to go cowboy hat shopping in Texas. I think we're going to get a picture of somebody standing in a store in a cowboy hat.
If there's any justice in this world, it will be Jung Ho.
I think it's going to be Yuno.
I think it will be too. He loves the cowboy hat. He does. And he looks great in them, so bring it on, you know?
He will, because he puts it on for Django, and then he just leaves it on for the rest of the show. He's like, I'm like,
yeah, this is actually great.
I'm going to keep this.
I think we'll get some fun Instagram content this time, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. So I think when it comes time to make my own, I haven't made my own yet because I'm currently drawing the board, making the bingo board itself.
Well, mine is still in list form. Like, I just have a list of things that I might put on it, and it's not organized and it's not done. But just for examples, here are some things that I'm planning to put on there.
I will put a lot of Instagram stuff in my wild card, I think. Mm. They have a real reputation of posting crazy pictures when they get to...
Questionable bathroom selfies.
Questionable bathroom selfies. They love those.
Jungle, I'm looking right at you. Also, you know.
That's what I was about to say. I'm looking right at you know and his little foot selfies. You know, so. And his feet. I can't wait for that to be like front and center on his feed. Just his feet showing them to us for free. So I think that'll
be good. Did you, and this is totally off topic, but did you happen to save Eden's foot pic?
I don't think I did.
Oh, no. It's got to be out there though, right?
I don't know. Who else is following Eden as closely as I am? I mean, I saw some of those pictures going around Twitter with like ATNEs making fun of him. Mm. So maybe we can find an ATNE who didn't like his foot pic and was like dragging him for it, and then we can steal it for our own personal needs. And then, you know, block that person. Yes.
Block them. Thanks for the pic. Never want to see.
Unfortunately, I probably already have all of them blocked, so it's not.
Yeah, that's true.
It'll be hard for me to find them, but maybe someone out there, listeners, if you saved Eden's foot pic, actually any of those pics from his last Instagram post, if you want to go ahead and email those to us, we do have an email address.
oldontini@gmail.com. Please send all of your Eden foot pics there. Eden, if you are listening.
you can also send your foot pics.
We'll take
there.
Them from you too. It's fine.
Direct from the source. Thanks, Eden.
It's really cool that we're soliciting foot pics already. It's only episode like 3 or 4. Who knows?
Well, that's far enough in for the people to know that it's not like an everyday thing.
No.
We're not constantly wanting foot pics.
No.
And to be clear, I actually only want foot pics from Eden, so. No one else send them in. Only Eden. Eden, if you're listening, what I would really love is a picture of your feet in Crocs so that we can be Crocs buddies. I know that the producers are wearing those Crocs because I follow all the producers and several of them have posted their Croc pictures on Instagram. So I know that's the hot fashion at Edenary.
Right.
And in my heart, you're wearing them too. So there's my love letter to Eden.
We got to get Maddox. We got to say, Maddox, listen, here's what we need you to do. We need you to do some stealth photography.
Sneak around the Edenary office. Don't worry. We don't want their face.
We don't want faces. So, all we want is proof that this is Eden's foot in a croc. That's all we need.
You can put something there that just, you know, he can write his name next to it. Like, we can do this. Like, it's a PC sale, you know?
Let's end off talking about, well, the tour part, because we do have to talk about Empty Box.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so things we're most excited for a tour.
Well, I already said mine, unfortunately, which is I want to see This World. I want to see this road. That's my number one most exciting thing. Number two is just like the general, like I'm so excited to get to see them perform again, because every time I see them perform, it's such a rush. Mm-hmm. So it's not even a specific thing. I'm just so happy that I'm going to get to experience it several times. I'm going to get to be with friends while I experience it. I just think that's really great.
Yeah, I'm excited about getting to see multiple shows, getting to travel around, that I actually get to do a thing that I really wanted to, that it's actually coming all together. I'm squeezing it in right before school starts up again, rolling in just that barely. First day. Yeah, I will be leaving the hotel in Duluth and driving to school that morning. I've already warned my principal. I was like, listen, I'm be rolling in that day. I'm be half asleep. My hair's going to be a mess. I might be wearing a concert tee. I don't know what's happening, but I will
makeup
be here.
All down our face.
Smudged. I will be tired. I will be grouchy. I will be...
No voice whatsoever.
I mean, I'm not really a screamer. I will scream break the
wall. I'm not a screamer, but if you're like... with someone and you're mm-hmm. trying to talk at all mm-hmm. in the concert, mm-hmm. you do end up losing your voice. Like, I also am not, like, a huge screamer. I wish I was the type of person that when a member walked by, I could be like, oh, Hongjoong, look at me. I can't do that. Like, I just, like, the thought of yelling a member's name, trying to get their attention, makes everything in me feel like I just want to stop living. Like, I can't. I'll never be that person. I can't do it. So I will not. I never have yelled for the members' attention. I never mm-mm. will. I'll wave, like, silently and sadly as they walk by, like, hi.
That's me.
That's the best I can do.
Every time I go to a Hello 82 pop-up, they try to do mm-hmm. the video of taking the video of the line and everybody screaming.
Uh-huh.
Every single time, and they have never posted it a single time. And I think it is because I don't scream. And so there will always be, like, this gap. Like, this person next to me screams, silence. This person next to me screams. And I'm just, like, waving. Looking very sheepish. Usually I've got like a book or something, and mm-hmm. I'm so pleased that they've never posted one of those, because it would be
well, I think that would be very fun for me to see.
I know it'd be fun for you, but I'm just glad that they've always given up. They're like, no, this mm-hmm. one's not gonna work either. We'll have to try it another day.
When she's not here. Yeah.
Or they can just like wait, like do it before I get there, or you know, but I'm always there like an hour ahead of time, because you got to stand in the line and mm-hmm. so you can get in early.
I do think you'll lose your voice only mm-hmm. because we're going to so many and mm-hmm. we have to, like, you know, if you're like, I'm going to the bathroom, you know, like hold my spot. Mm-hmm. So I think you will lose your voice, even if you're not a screamer.
Looking forward to it, because I don't want to talk to anybody anyway when I get back to school. Bailey, listen, I'm not back in this world yet. I'm still, my heart and mind are still on tour. So as far as performances, I'm excited to see everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, everything. Mm-hmm. The song.
Yeah, the song, everything. The everything and also everything. So I'm excited to see, I'm excited to get a Jungle Ballad. If for some reason so they didn't good. Do it, I would absolutely riot. There would not be enough riot gear in this world that could contain me if they do not give me the Jungle solo.
Oh, God.
I'm really excited about all of the solos. I'm excited about all the extra mm-hmm. stuff that, you know, Hongjoong playing guitar. I think that's going to be super mm-hmm. fun. I would really love it if they could have the live band. I know I sent you that somebody had a clip of the live band answer from Mawazin.
Oh,
and I was like,
good.
Finally, someone who understands me. And it was mm-hmm. so, so good. So I love the live band versions. They have mm-hmm. to give them to us. They have to.
Eventually.
They got to do it. They have to give us a live concert recording. It's something I've been asking for mm-hmm. specifically.
Eden, if you're listening.
Eden, I know that you're here. Now that we've been talking about your feet, we're done talking about your feet. Listen, a live recording of their concert. It could even not even just be one concert. It could be a collection of different.
Mm.
I would accept concert from in this version. I also want the concert Utopia with the word I'm looking for, the dance version of Utopia. I want it. I want it. I want Fever Medley. I know that you have these recordings, Eden. I know that this is true because I play Superstar 80s and they have them on Superstar 80s. And so I know that all you gotta do is pop it on a little CD and sell it to me with a bunch of PCs, and I will buy it, Eden. Okay? So just tell Sean, the creative director, James. Hey, James? James. That's what we want. We want concert CDs.
From?
We want concert from, and we want that to be on a collection with the live band versions of all the songs that they've sung with the live band. Please and thank you, James.
Concert Inception. Please don't forget her. James, I need you to take a note. Concert Inception. I feel like I'm the only one that remembers her, but she was so creepy and fun and different, and I want her back.
Did they do her at the concert?
Yes.
Or did they just do it for the one of the Gaios?
No, it was the first concert, the beginning of the end. They came out wearing, like, masks. They had on beautiful masks.
Did do it for the concert. You're right.
It was, like, this creepy, beautiful version of Inception that sounded like puppets. Mm-hmm. Creepy puppets. That's how I remember it.
It is.
And I want it. And it's been 2 years, and I'm not over it. So please, give it to me. Okay, that's my dream for James and Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can get together and Sean, have a discussion.
Get Sean in on the meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sean is a creative. I know that he backs me up on this. Sean, I know that you're on my side.
Obviously, we have to talk about the big news. Like, we talked about the tour first. We had always planned to talk about the tour today. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as ATs does, while we were sleeping, they just, like, a million things happened, including Bobby's wish for an empty box video. So in a later podcast episode, you're going to hear her complaining about why they didn't give us an empty box music video. And that's not going to be true anymore because we have it.
No one ever questioned me again. Just don't do it. I am right. I was right about this. I was half right.
Yeah.
You will hear me eventually talk about how the concept photos didn't make any sense with work, but they did make a lot of sense with an empty box music video, which they did and do, except they don't wear any of the concept outfits in the empty box music video. So we are still here. No Jongho beanie on video.
No Jongho beanie. And, this one's for Jungho. Jungho, if you're listening, please put that beanie back on and give us just some quality video content to watch.
I am putting that, you know what, I'm putting that on my tour bingo. Jungho wears beanie for the last part, for the encore that's not really an encore.
It would make my whole life if he walked out in for that last encore part in a denim jacket and a beanie. I would lose my mind.
I'd take one or the other. I don't need both. I don't even need both. I'm not going to be selfish like Rachel. I only need just the beanie would make me happy. Especially if it's like a tour beanie. If that's part of the tour merch and we can also have the beanie.
Wouldn't that be good?
It'd be so good.
So anyways, we got the empty box music video today.
We sure did. There was no beanie in it, but we're okay with that.
That song is so good. It was my favorite song on the album. Mm-hmm. I haven't even had a chance to listen to it all day. I just listened to it the two times.
Yeah, I watched it a couple times. Watched it once and then watched it one more time. And I find it very interesting that nobody on Twitter is talking about it.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
I was like, did...
Maybe, but like, even our own friends didn't know it happened. We were like in this text message chat and one of them's like, how come no one mentioned this music video? And then like a couple hours later, the other one's like, what music video are you talking about? I was like, oh, she's talking about Empty Box.
Yeah, nobody's got KQ's notifications on, I see. Just me. But yeah, I saw it. I was on my phone when they dropped it. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's happening. And so went immediately to go watch it. And it was so beautiful. My interpretation of how this kind of ties into the greater storyline is, you know, so obvious. Them sort of resignedly letting go of that dream of being together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in spite of the fact that they wanted it so much and they're sort of like, I'll never miss you, is not being truthful. It's them kind of lying to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's interesting that they chose Yeosung in particular to be that sort of bookend at the beginning and the end. It's funny that he opens the drawer. And so the implication is that that's where he's keeping all of his memories of him and his friends together.
Yeah.
And he thinks through, like, there's no storyline, but it seems to indicate that this is them am visualizing the idea of him opening that drawer to view the memory and then closing the drawer because he's got to move on.
The lights make it look kind of fuzzy, which I think is that signal that it's a memory, that mm-hmm. this is something that's in his memory. It's not something that's happening right now. But one of my greatest interests as far as themes go is this idea of what happens after the story. Mm-hmm. And so I love that part where it looks like they're at a party and the party's over. Mm-hmm. And what do you do after the best party of your life is over? They've just saved the world. Mm-hmm. What do they do?
And one thing I remember from school, so I was a theater major in school, and I remember talking specifically about Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. I love how I had to qualify that it was Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. That in Romeo and Juliet, a lot of directors will go the route at the very end after Romeo and Juliet have died, spoilers, that they'll have...
That's a spoiler?
Where have you been? Please catch up to the rest of us. So after Romeo and Juliet have died, a lot of theater directors will go the route of having very dark, red, somber kind of lighting. Mm-hmm. So they talk about that from a set design standpoint of making it feel very oppressive and sad. And one of my directors that I worked with said, it is so much more powerful if your lighting is bright and cheerful, birds chirping, because the idea is, in spite of what has happened to these families, life goes on. Yeah. That the world is cruel and it does not care about your sadness and loss. Mm-hmm. And it's also this idea that Romeo and Juliet are no longer here to enjoy this beautiful world. And it kind of reminds me of that. They didn't set it in a dark and somber and sad and empty kind of final setting. It was a setting that was filled with life and joy and music. Mm-hmm. And happiness, and the contrast of all of the confetti is already fallen and the balloons mm-hmm. are losing their helium and mm-hmm. the guitar is just thrown on the ground and it's not making music anymore. It kind of reminds me of that idea. It's the echo of the joyful time, but now we're left with the remains, you know?
And I think that idea is what's all over their diary book mm-hmm. from Golden Hour, this what now? Mm-hmm. What we had the greatest experience of our lives, what now? Mm-hmm. How does that change our life? How do we move on from that? How does it change our life, or is it just a moment?
You know what? I feel like H&Es are feeling that same feeling right now because mm-hmm. the world was so big, and mm-hmm. I think we all expected them to just keep getting bigger,
right?
Thematically, sonically, to just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But you reach a point where it's like, we can't keep going up. We've got to go in a different direction. And yeah. I really think it's so smart that they went to something like work, which is so different from anything that we got in the World Series, because there was no way for them to really top what they did in the World Series. So now we're all feeling that kind of a little bit of a letdown in that mm-hmm. we didn't just keep climbing higher and higher and higher, but we went somewhere completely different, somewhere with a completely different vibe. And so I think that's actually so smart that the way that we are feeling is reflecting what they are also feeling.
Just so everyone knows, in Bobby and I's lore, there is an intern who writes.
No, the intern is canon. The intern is canon.
The intern is canon, thanks to Hongjoon. Yes. But I don't know that he calls her an intern.
He doesn't. But in our hearts and minds, we do know that she is she. And that right. really brings me so much joy.
And so what I was going to say is, the intern is so smart for how she's done this, because you're right. In the story of ATs, the world was so big, they saved the world. They literally saved the world. Mm-hmm. And then they went back home. Mm-hmm. And I think, just like ATs, ATeenies, we saw ATs grow so much during the world. They became so big. The world is the series that made them, at the Festival of Coachella, headliners at Malvazine, able to do stadium tours. That's the series that got us where we are. Mm-hmm. And now we're doing something else. We are back home.
Right.
And I think that's such an interesting idea. It gives me like the all over chills feeling that their story, like we're living it too. I think it's really special. It can be as big as it can be. It can be sci-fi, whatever. It feels so real, so human. It feels like I'm living it with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes it special.
Mm-hmm. I think we talked about this similarly somewhere else, but we are along for the ride.
Right.
Or not just viewers, we also get to be passengers on the ride and mm-hmm. joining in. So that it is very special. And I don't know of another group that does it like ATs.
I agree. And I know that right now on Twitter, there's a lot of discourse about whether or not Golden Hour is a good album. And I will go on record, it's a great album. Mm-hmm. The discourse is stupid. I don't need it.
I mean, you know, taste is subjective and all mm-hmm. of that. And I feel like people should be free to express their opinions, but also, do you have to
express your opinions in ATE Twitter? That's my thing. Mm. You can express your opinions to whoever you want in your life mm-hmm. where people aren't going to see them. Mm-hmm. But I just feel these are opinions that do not need to be expressed in ATE Twitter. And they're for somewhere else. They're mm-hmm. for something else.
They're for your group chats and your private accounts.
And Twitter doesn't have or allow for mm-hmm. the nuance to have a real conversation about whether or not Golden Hour is quote unquote good. Mm. We've talked about, and the people will hear it eventually, they haven't yet, but we've talked about whether or not the concept photos for Golden Hour were quote unquote good mm-hmm. or what we would improve about it. And we were able to have a real discussion. Both of us have things that we like and dislike about the concept photos. I am sure there are things, well, I know there are things that I like and dislike about Golden Hour. It's a good album, though. Like, it's well put together, mm-hmm. sonically interesting. They're doing new things. The lore that they wrote to go with it, I think, fits perfectly with it. The vibe is right. You know, one of the most important things to me when talking about art is, did the artist achieve what they wanted to achieve? Mm-hmm. And I think they did. So I think that's like one of the most important considerations. Is it for everyone? No. But did they achieve what they wanted to achieve? I think yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Twitter allows for that type of nuanced conversation about whether or not something is good. So,
well, we've talked about it before. There is no good or bad with art, you know? Like, right. There is no definitive goodness and definitive badness when it comes to artistic expression. So the conversations that people have on Twitter are inherently shallow because
right.
that's what all they stick to is this album was mid or this album was great or this album was bad and there's nothing else to say. So, I mean, I find that having somebody, you know, just talk about how, oh, I love this album so much, like that at least brings me a little bit of joy. Like somebody enjoyed right. a thing and that makes me happy that they enjoyed a thing. Whereas hearing somebody say the equally valid opinion of this album wasn't very good, that does nothing for me.
Right.
You have not brought me any joy because you're not happy, so that didn't do anything for me. That is why I feel like, you know, positive opinions at least are doing something positive. Even though they are both equally valid in the grand scheme of things, I may not agree with all of them, but they are equally valid. You know, at least if you're saying that you're enjoying something, we know you're having a good time.
And we talked about this right before we started recording because, you know, we've started a podcast and people can leave reviews of said podcast on certain sites mm-hmm. and whether or not we want to subject ourselves to those reviews. What I will say for sure is that ATs's team, they're on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So if you're giving that type of negative review, you are exposing the creators to that. And maybe that's what you want because, I don't know, because you want to make people unhappy. I'm not sure. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why that would be what you want. But if you're in a space where the creators can see what you're saying, I think you should be a little more careful about what you're saying. It should be more detailed than was it good, was it bad, mm-hmm. was it mid? Because that also doesn't offer the creator anything. If I came out and I was like, I didn't like Golden Hour. Okay.
Yeah, what do we do with that?
What's Edenary to do? What's mm-hmm. ATs to do? The only thing they can do is feel bad. Mm-hmm. I think we do have some real feedback we can give on the concept photos, even though I was really annoyed on Twitter when people were like, concept photos. photos are bad. Like, okay, but why? Why are they bad?
It was the same problem. You know, oh, they're boring. Oh, they didn't do anything exciting. And it's like, well, what does that mean? What would be great for you? Can you give examples? The one little bit of discourse that I did see about the concept photos after the album was out, and I know I talked to you about this, was when somebody showed the pictures of the silhouettes against the spotlight and talked about how interesting those would have been. That is good feedback, because you are saying something specific, that this is an example of a good thing that I would have preferred, because that's something that the creative team can actually, you know, if they bothered to get on Twitter and look around, they can look at that and say, oh, they liked this idea. Maybe that's something we can keep in mind. I've talked about this before. I know I've talked about doing like blog posts about what is constructive criticism. Right. And I think I talked about it in the concept photo discussion too, but just if you're going to give feedback, if you're going to state an opinion, it's absolutely worthless unless you, even if you're saying that you like something, it's not really worth anything unless you're going to talk about why and be specific as to what is good, what did you love, or if it's bad, what did you not love? I mean, I have two golden hour album criticisms. One is, I feel like Empty Box is beautiful as it, both of them are Empty Box centered, I just realized, but Empty Box kind of stands out because it doesn't have any Latin influence the way that the other tracks do. So that seems weird to me. It seems like it's very thematic overall, but then we just have Empty Boxes there, and Empty Box is beautiful and perfect, but also just doesn't seem to fit as well, which is fine. Not every album has to be like a concept album. That's okay. But it does just kind of stand out weirdly to me. And also Empty Box is too short. It's too short, Eden.
That song could be 15 minutes long. What are you doing?
I really needed one final chorus. I needed them to, after the bridge, because it feels like they do a bridge and then they just cut it off. And it's like, take me back to the chorus. What are you doing? So, but maybe there's a reason for that. I don't know.
I think I have similar feedback, not about the Latin influence on Empty Box, but about the length of Empty Box, and actually about the length of all of the songs. It's not even length. My one critique, I guess, of Golden Hour is that when a song ends, every song, I have this momentary feeling of, what happened? Why did it end?
So, yeah, I remember we did a listening party for the first time, and I felt like every single song, it was like whiplash. Like, it would just end, and we're on something different. It's like, wait, what? None of them felt satisfying.
Right. And I can come up with reasons why I think they did that, and I do think they were going for a thing, and I think they have achieved that thing. I am not sure that that thing is what I wanted. I like the album. I love the album. I love listening to it together, because a thing that I've noticed when I listen to it from beginning to end is when that song ends and the next one plays, that feeling is over, because now I'm into the next one and I feel fulfilled that way. And it's like that thing that ATs, Edenary, they don't always give me what I want, but they do give me what I need. Mm-hmm. So the next song carries me and makes me feel like, gets me back in my footing. But I do feel like all of the songs end very suddenly. And I think thematically that makes sense with the idea of growing up, the changes that we experience. A thing that I think people think about grown-ups before they're actually grown up is that once you're a grown-up, you won't have these confusing feelings about like whether you're doing the right thing, or you'll have it figured out.
Folks, I have never been more confused in my entire life.
Right. The thing that we realize when we do grow up is that actually you'd never know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're always winging it. and just like trying your best. Yeah. And I think that the way the songs end is kind of reflective of this idea of never quite knowing that you're taking the right next step. Mm. Never quite knowing that what you're doing is correct, but then it being okay in the end. Mm-hmm. Because that next song hits and you're like, okay.
I think also the idea of being forced to let something go. Mm. Like Empty Box ends and you can't just live in Empty Box. You gotta move on to what comes after that. Siren, Shaboom, I think actually. You got to move into Shaboom. You got to do it. And which I think also works thematically in that they reach a point where they realize they have to let go in order to move forward. And I do think that this, not to get right in deeply into the lore, but I do think this idea of them having to let go of their dream actually is going to benefit them in the long run, because I think they're all going to come back to the table eventually with all these new skills that they didn't necessarily have before. And I'm very excited for that. I'm very excited to see, you know, what is Sanghwa going to do with his fireman training? Is he going to bring us the calendar? Are we ever going to see the Sanghwa fireman calendar?
Which would be so fun. It would be so funny. Thank you. Please.
Thank you. Listen. James, listen. I've got an idea. I want merch that is centered around, I want a little apron from San's food truck. I want a little pin from Wu Young's being a flight attendant.
Right.
I want someone's calendar. I want Hong Jung's book.
A book written by Hong Jung, please.
Give me an Indiana Jones hat that I know you know is wearing, or give me like a relic that he digs up. Yo Song is just give me some money with Yo Song's face on it.
Oh, that would be fun.
Mingi's fashion. I don't know what that would be. Just something fashionable with Mingi on it. And then a Jongo song or a Jongo song book. I mean, there's so much. A little, like, just a CD case with Jongo on it. I mean, there's just
so much to be done.
If they're not going to give me a proper diary film for these new, massively entertaining situations that they have found themselves in, they got to give me the fireman calendar. That's all. You can't tell me that he's on the cover of a fireman calendar and then not give me the fireman calendar. All right. Thank you, James.
Any final thoughts on Empty Box?
I am so happy. I'm so happy. And I mentioned this in the chat, but I think it was such a flex that they decided to do like a live recording version instead of a pre-recorded version. Mm-hmm. Just because they know that they can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only reason. They didn't need to, but they could. So they did.
Mm-hmm. My final thought is similar. Like, the music video is cool. It's got a lot of lore. Mm-hmm. I'm happy they gave us a music video, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see them start doing that kind of stuff. My thought when I was listening to it is, oh my God, all of their voices are so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they're so good. They sound so good. Every single one of them. It's so beautiful. It's just beautiful.
I mean, you know that I've said before, my favorite part is that Tuho moment where, you know, and then he goes into Jongo and it just, but I will tell you who I feel so impressed with. Is Hong Jung.
During the music video, his rap, I was like, oh, this hits different on the music video.
And then when he gets into just full vocals.
Yeah.
Like, Captain, save some talent for the rest of us. Sir, please. So good.
He can't. He can't. Too powerful.
He's got most of it, and Jongo's got most of it, and then AT's has got most of it, and then KQ's got most of it. KQ's like, no, it's all for us.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode and will be back with us next Wednesday and every Wednesday when we drop new episodes. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast. You can connect with us at oldontini@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at holochatpodcast, or read more from our blog at ontini.com. We'll see you soon. Be the light.